Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you are blessed to not really know about this controversy that happens in our country, Europe too. Basically, countries that are not primarily Orthodox. About grace and works. You might have heard some about it. It's kind of hard not to hear about it if you live in Texas. Because there's this idea that is new that you can be saved without works. And in fact, that works are unimportant, not even considered by God in any way. That the only thing important is what God saves us by grace. It's true, he saves us by grace through faith. Absolutely. That's the words of the apostle. But then the apostle goes on to say something else. So let me read the whole quote, which we read just a moment ago, and then not really talk so much about refuting the false ideas about this verse and this selection of Paul. You could spend centuries. There's been 5 centuries now that this error has been pretty much around. So you could spend 5 centuries talking about it. Let's not talk about the negative. Let's talk about something else that is in this scripture which should inspire us. That's why I read scripture. You probably figured that out by now. We read scripture to be inspired. We read scripture to be taught. We read scripture to commune with God. And so here's the ending part of this reading. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it goes on, very importantly. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So just a little bit of theology, and then to the heart. Theology should always lead to the heart. So the theology is that we cannot be saved without doing works. We're not saved by our works. There's nothing that we can do where we deserve our salvation because we're sinners. God in his grace saves us. But we cannot be saved without doing works. It's absolutely impossible to be saved if we do not desire to do works. Now, what are works? Works are to follow the commandments. Now, why would we follow the commandments? Well, if you read in Genesis, you'll know why. Because God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. So if we're made in the image of God, that means we're like him in some way. God is pure and holy. And so we must strive to be pure and holy. You can't know somebody unless you become like them. It's impossible. And so we struggle to follow the commandments because they are perfect. That's the reason God said, do not murder. It's not like him at all. That's why he said, do not commit adultery, since that is a betrayal, because God never betrays. That is why God says, do not steal, because that is not to love. To take from someone is not to love them. And all the rest of the commandments, including the additional commandments that the Savior gave in the New Testament, such as to love your enemies, to forgive those who hurt you, etc. Those are because they reflect as best as we can understand in this world who God is. And we are supposed to be like him because we are supposed to have union with him and the full knowledge of him. And this is only possible if we struggle to follow the commandments. Now, anything that you do is by the grace of God. The fact that you rose this morning is by the grace of God. Everything is by the grace of God, including the works you do. So we don't take any credit for anything we do. But if you love God, then you will want to become like him. It's a fundamental Christian principle. It's not the fundamental principle. The fundamental principle is we are made in the image of God. And because of that, everything else flows. And so, of course, with grace, we are saved through faith, and it's not of our own works. But we were created for works. We were created to become like Jesus Christ, the image of the Father. So this is why we do works, and the works are to do the things that God does. Now, obviously, not to raise the dead as he can raise the dead or cure the sick. Perhaps sometimes that happens. But we are to morally become like God. So that's the theology, with I guess a bit of heart, but I'm going to tell you more heart now, because this is what's really so beautiful about this particular passage. It begins, God, who is rich in mercy in his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. So because of our sins, we were dead. Sin is death. Sin is to be far from God and unworthy of God. And even far from God and unworthy of him, he became man for our sake because he loved us. Not a love like the world loves, but the love of God, which we are trying to learn by loving our neighbor. And even though we were dead in sins, he's raised us up together with Christ. By grace, he says, you have been saved. And then what happens? Because we are saved by grace through faith, we are his workmanship. We are created unto Christ Jesus, or you could say recreated in baptism, right? Unto good works. We have the privilege of being different than we were before. Before we were sinners, before we were far away from God, before we were, as St. Peter says, aliens, estranged, but through baptism have been brought near. And because of this, we now can do what we were destined to be and to do the things of God and to become like God. It's a great privilege to do these things. Now, we understand this in daily life. If you really love someone, you want to do good things for them. Everybody does. Atheists want to do good things for those they love. Criminals want to do good things for those they love. Much more so those of us who have, because of God's rich mercy, been raised up from our deadness because of sin and brought to Christ, should want to do good things for the one we love. This is why we do good works. It's not because of a theological understanding saying, well, you got to do good works too, or else you're not saved. It comes out of gratitude. It comes out of the knowledge that we were sinners, and still are, and we don't deserve God. But God chose to visit us as man, and then to imbue upon human nature the capability of doing good works, of becoming good, of becoming his workmanship. This is a different way of looking at it than your standard kind of idea of faith versus works. There is no faith versus works. There is just faith, which includes us desiring to be like the one we love, which would be works. I want to explain something to you also, do another definition. It's very important to understand this. What is grace? All the time we hear in the scriptures, grace. So by grace we are saved through faith. What does this mean? Some people have this definition. Those of you who are not, who are raised in Orthodox countries, might not know this definition. It's a bad one. It's completely, it's got a little bit of truth in it, which is really dangerous. The idea that grace is unmerited favor. That's a typical thing that people in America have heard, and that you hear the bigger the church and the more coffee bars are in it, the more likely they'll say that. But that's not what grace is. Grace is God's presence in your life. God making himself present. And he is life. So where he is present, there is life. Where he fills a person, there is knowledge, and there is peace, and there is holiness. That's what grace is. Of course it's unmerited. But that's not the point. The point is God loves us and decides out of his love, because that's what love does, you know. Love gives to others without caring about whether they deserve it or not. He wants to give us himself because there's nothing better that he can give us. So that's what grace is. God giving himself to us in such a way that we can perceive him and know him and understand him. On one level, there's always grace. There's grace everywhere you go. And there's God is making himself known even to those that are not in the church to varying degrees, leading them to truth. And sometimes God does actually withdraw himself from us. So you could say he withdraws grace from us. Never completely, because without God's grace, without his presence, we're dead. Because there is no life without God. Nothing is alive without God. He makes everything to live. He maintains everything. But he might withdraw himself such that we don't feel him as much. Perhaps some of you have experienced that. That's so that we can depend on him and feel him more when he comes back in more full force. Of course, we're using sort of terms that really don't really apply. There is no term that applies to how God visits us. It's not arithmetic. It's not like you can have 10% of God or 20% or 100%. God reveals himself to us as we are able to understand him. And you're only able to understand him if you become like him. Hence, by grace we are saved through faith, not because of our works, but then we are his workmanship, created to do good works, so that we would know him. So there's no dichotomy. You who are born in Russia or Romania or somewhere and never heard this, I'm happy for you. Because this is a very pernicious idea, the idea that there's a grace and there's works and there's faith. No, there isn't. There's marriage and there's love. And because of love, those who are married want to do good to each other. You don't separate the two. If you love your children, you don't separate into it. There's love for my children and there's also doing stuff for my children. They're all together. So this is a beautiful thing. To have the knowledge that we were sinners, still are, but we were far from God, and God in his rich mercy raised us up to do good works, to be good, to become good, to know good, which is of course God, to be filled with peace, to be filled with purity. That's the reason for every commandment, to know God. That's the reason. So there's not a legalistic reason why you follow commandments. It's a very holistic, natural reason. Why does the child want to be with his mother? Because he loves her. Even before he can speak, he loves her. He just wants to be with her. And in the beginning, when they're one and two, they obey her. After that, we start to learn things about the world. And we stop obeying so easily and so freely. But the principle is still there. Our mother, our father loves us. So they want to give us what they can. Now, we're poor sinners, so we really can't give our children that much. But God can give everything. He can give himself. So that's the point. That's the point of this passage. It's not about setting up this idea that there's grace and there is faith and there's works. It's all together. God visits us. God makes his presence known in our life. We feel him in the beating of our heart. In the scriptures, I don't remember the reference, I think it's from Job, speaking about feeling him in his breath as he breathes. So God makes himself present and makes us alive, really alive. Not like the world thinks that there's life. Their life is death. But to be fully with God and in God. And then we would naturally want to do the things of God. That's the purpose for good works. If you can say there's a purpose to them. That's really a wrong way of saying it. Good works are to become like God, which is the whole purpose of our life. And all of it's possible because of God. Not one thing can we do without God. But as we do these things, as God helps us, then we become full with God, with the knowledge of God and the peace of God. It's a beautiful thing. I hope you cultivate this in your life. Now I'll say one practical thing. I always have to try to say practical things because we live in a world that is just so against God. Even people that are speaking of God are speaking of him improperly. And there's so many distractions and there's so much coldness. You must cultivate in your heart this love for God, this remembering that God has raised you up although you're unworthy, and that you're created for good things, and that you have the privilege, even though you are a sinner, to do good for God, to be his hands and his feet. He doesn't go around taking care of people nowadays, does he? You don't see Jesus walking the earth. He expects us to do it. Of course, everything happens with God's grace, but we are to be his instruments now. What a pleasure it is to be an instrument of God. Something dirty and filthy and broken, and he cleaned it up. And now we can serve him with joy. That's why we do good works. God bless you. It's a wondrous thing to be a Christian, isn't it? Amen.